At the heart of any good relationship is good communication. Or to look at it from the other direction, if, take one example of a relationship, if husband and wife aren't talking to each other, then you know the relationship is in trouble. Some years ago, I heard a story, it was a true story, about a couple who stopped in a motorway service station on a long journey. The husband got back into the car and drove off without realizing that his wife was still in the service station. He drove apparently for something like 50 miles down the motorway without missing her. In fact, he only realized she wasn't there when he asked her to pass him a sweet and got no reply. Now, whatever else that story shows, it reveals that good communication was not a feature of their relationship. Long silences were nothing unusual. When you become a Christian, you come into a relationship with God. Before, you were cut off from God, but now you've been reconciled to Him. You are back in relationship. And in this respect, it's no different from any other relationship. Good communication is at the heart of a relationship with God. Now, how do you communicate with God? You can't see Him. How do you communicate with God? How does God speak to us? How do we speak to Him? Well, next week, God willing, Owen's going to be preaching on the theme of speaking to God in prayer. This week, we're looking at God speaking to us and us listening to God. And we're looking, I'd say, particularly at this, the latter part of this chapter. And I've got 6 points. Don't worry, it's not massively long, all right? They're all quite brief. Firstly, and they build up, firstly, God speaks, verse 16. Verse 16 wonderfully says, all scripture is breathed out by God. If you like jargon, if you like to know the big words, this is about the doctrine of inspiration. Because if you ask, what does it mean to say Scripture is breathed out by God? Because it's a unique term. It's the only place in the Bible this word occurs. And it's really a sort of compound word, a sort of joined together word. Joining together the word for God with the word for breathed. God breathed. And it helps to bring out how the Bible came about. And it stands against the backdrop of the teaching of the Bible from beginning to end that God created the entire universe by speaking, by mere breath. There's a great verse in the Psalm 33, verse 6, which puts it like this. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host. Style of Psalms, often style of Hebrew poetry, you have in a verse two statements, one alongside each other, which say roughly the same thing often, or one amplifies the other, or the one's in contrast to the other. Here they're in parallel. When you speak words, you have to breathe out. You're at the action of speaking, you're breathing out. So the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, by the breath of His mouth, by speaking, all their hosts. To say that all scripture, back in 2 Timothy 3, the Bible, is breathed out by God, is saying it's spoken by God. He speaks as He breathes out. Now, above all else, that's telling us that what we have in the Bible is God's words. The Bible's words are God's words. Now, of course, the Bible was also written by human authors. This particular letter was written by to Timothy by Paul. And Paul offers no explanation here of how God works through them. Peter, in one of his letters, describes it like this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, carried them along, directed them, so that they were speaking, writing, but God was directing them, so what they wrote was what God wanted them to write. But what Paul is particularly wanting us to focus on in our passage tonight is that the Bible owes its origin to God. It originated in the mind of God, was communicated from God's mouth by God's breath or God's spirit. Breath and spirit are the same word in Hebrew. It's the Word of God. The Bible presents itself from beginning to end as God speaking to men and women. And that means that reading the Bible or listening to the Bible read to you, because the time it was written, lots of people couldn't read, is exciting. This is not just the latest, you know, sort of best-selling airport novel that you buy for a few pence. This is God speaking to you. The God who made the universe, the vastness of the universe, all these billions and billions and trillions of stars spread out over this huge area, the vastness. The God who made that, who holds that in the palms of his hand, when we read the Bible, or hear the Bible read to us, is speaking to us. So firstly, God speaks. Where does he speak? Well, secondly, God speaks to us. God speaks in all of the Bible. Verses 14 to 16. But looking again, verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. What's meant by all Scripture? Well, Paul seems to have two things in view. If we look back at the previous verse, verse 16, we read this. He's writing to Timothy, how from childhood you, Timothy, have been acquainted with the sacred writings. So this is what Timothy knew from infancy. That phrase, sacred writing, was one that Greek-speaking Jews, which is what Timothy was, used to refer to the Old Testament, the part of the Bible written before Jesus was born. That fits with the reference to from infancy, because we're told back in chapter 1, verse 5, that Timothy's mum and his gran were believers too. And so they would have taught him the Bible they had, which was the Old Testament, as we call it. So in all Scripture, Paul certainly includes the Old Testament. But I'm convinced he means more than just that. Because if you look back to the previous verse, verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Now, he's talking about something different here, other than what he talked about in verse 15. He's talking about another source of reliable knowledge that's placed alongside the Old Testament Scriptures. And it's Scriptures, it's information that Timothy has learned from someone he can rely on. Well, Paul's referring here to himself and his own teaching. Back in chapter 1, verse 13, follow the pattern of sound words that you heard from me. So, back in chapter 3, verse 14, Paul is referring to the writings of himself and the other apostles. What became, when completed, the New Testament. And so putting verse 14, verse 15 together, we have verse 14, reference to the New Testament, verse 15, reference to the Old Testament. And together, they make up all Scripture. Together, this is all Scripture, our Bible. So God speaks to us in the whole Bible, from the first book, Genesis, right through to the last book, Revelation. What does he speak about? Well, thirdly, God speaks in all of the Bible. Thirdly, God speaks about salvation through faith in Christ. Verse 15. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible is, above all else, about salvation. It's a book of rescue. It's not a book of rules. It tells of God's plan of salvation, God's plan of rescue, about how God made us perfect, the human race, how we disobeyed God, how we fell this, and how God then planned to rescue us. God planned to save us. He did that by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. And how his Son became a man how his son was born, lived the perfect life, died on the cross, rose from the dead. And when he died on the cross, he was dying in our place, taking the punishment we deserved. So the Bible is a book about God's plan of rescue, God's plan of salvation. But more specifically, Paul tells us how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible doesn't say, God's made a way of salvation, now what you got to do is work really hard and become really religious and go to church regularly and say your prayers and maybe give to charity and try and be a good... No, the Bible says you must trust in Jesus. God's plan of salvation was that Jesus died so that you might be forgiven. You must put your faith in him. You must rely wholly on him. You must trust completely in him for salvation. And Paul says that's what the whole Bible is about. Now, of course, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us about Jesus actually coming into the world, about his life, about his death, about his resurrection, about his ascension. But the Old Testament prepares the way for that. The Old Testament tells us what Jesus would do, why it was necessary, gives us pictures, gives us patterns that Jesus would fulfill. And then the rest of the New Testament, the letters, takes and explains all that Jesus did and applies it to us and says, in the light of this, this is what you must do to be saved. But the heart of it is that you must trust in Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The only way you can be saved, rescued, is trusting in Jesus. Have you listened to the Bible? Have you put your faith in Christ for salvation? Has it made you wise for salvation through faith in Christ? So God speaks, firstly. God speaks to us in all of the Bible. What God speaks about is that we must put our trust in Jesus to be rescued, to be saved. But God, in speaking to us in the Bible, doesn't just say, well, here's how your sins can be forgiven, and that's all it talks about. God, fourthly, speaks about all you need to know about behavior and belief. God speaks about all you need to know about behavior and belief. Let me explain. Mr. and Mrs. Jenkins go to a great deal of time and trouble to see that their child is safely born. Mrs. Jenkins does all one should do in pregnancy. She avoids drinking. She... whatever else you're supposed to do. They prepare for the delivery in textbook fashion. They have the joy of a safe birth and a healthy child. And then Mr. and Mrs. Jenkins move off to America and leave the baby behind to fend for itself. Now, that's not how it works, is it? No parent would do that. No, your goal is not just to see the child safely born. It is to see them grow up safely. And as a parent, you will do all you can to provide for them to achieve that. And God, having brought us to new birth, having brought us that point of putting our faith in Christ so that our sins are forgiven, doesn't just pat us on the head and say, right, now get on with it yourself. He tells us in the Bible all that we need to grow as Christians in what we should believe, how we should behave. Paul puts it like this. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable, useful, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Four terms there, and they fall into two pairs. The first pair deals with what we believe, teaching and reproof. Teaching telling you this is what to believe, reproof, don't believe that. And second pair dealing with behavior, correction and training in righteousness. Correction, don't do that. Training in righteousness, this is the way you should live. So the use of Scripture in teaching us what to believe and what to behave is absolutely comprehensive, as verse 17 puts it. So that the man of God, or woman of God, or boy or girl of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. You know, you're not, if you read the Bible from cover to cover and you, by God's grace, understood it all, you're not going to go through life and keep coming up, oh no, help, I don't know what to do here. The Bible never told me how to behave in this. The Bible never told me what to believe about that. No, it's, the Bible is, again, if you like the big words, it's sufficient. It tells you all you need to know for belief and behavior. Challenge to us then. Do we come with that attitude to church? God, I'm here. I'm going to hear your word taught. Please, Lord, I pray that if there are new things I need to learn to believe, teach me. If there are things I've got wrong, correct me. If I'm living in the wrong way, reprove me from that. If there's some way I need to learn how to live, train me. Is that your attitude as you come to church? And notice that all Scripture is profitable for that. We need the Bible from cover to cover. That's why in this church, at the heart of what we do is teaching from Genesis to Revelation, just explaining the Bible passage by passage. We need to humbly listen to God's word, to accept it and to act on it. In the British coronation service, hasn't been one in my lifetime, but those of you who are there might remember it, or you can look it up and see what was in it. And there's a point in the coronation service where the moderator of the Church of Scotland hands a Bible to the new monarch, last one, Queen Elizabeth II, and says, quote, "This book is the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." This is precious. This is the most precious thing the world has to offer in terms of thing you could have in your hands. Not diamonds, not gold, the word of God. But before we look at, which will be our closing point, number 6, at how to value it, a word of warning. We need to recognize that we need help in understanding it. But fifthly, okay, so we've got those 4 points again. God speaks. God speaks to us in all the Bible. He speaks about salvation through faith in Christ. He speaks about all you need to know about behavior and belief. Fifthly, be careful about which Bible teachers you listen to. Verses 1 to 13. The first part of the chapter is all about people being deceived, people going astray. And he's not talking about people out there in the world. He's talking about people who are inside what churches. Because he says in verse 5, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. He's talking about people being deceived. And then later on, he talks about verses 8 and 9 about people who teach these false things. And that theme goes on into chapter 4, verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. There'll be those within the church, not just outside the church, who actually oppose the teaching of the Bible. There are plenty of people in buildings that have the notice church outside who are teaching religion that pretends to be Christianity but isn't. They replace the Word of God with human ideas. Their ideas may be the traditions of their church. They may be the latest idea from the world, dressed up in religious clothing. They may be something that they think God has told them, and God said this to me and I'm passing it on to you. And it's not from the Bible, it's from their own imagination. The advice of verse 5 is clear. The end of verse 5, avoid such people. How can we spot it? Well, obviously we test the teaching against the Bible. But Paul describes not only that aspect, he also describes the lives of these people. And in verses 10 and 11, he contrasts it with his own life. He says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering." And verse 14, he then goes on, "But as you continue what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." What's the point there? Well, what Paul's saying there is, don't just examine the teaching, examine the life of the teacher. And if the life of the teacher doesn't fit with the teaching of the Bible, don't follow them as a teacher. That's why he appeals to his own life and says, you can trust me because my life fits the bill. It matches up to what the Bible says a godly person's life should be like. So the Bible is God speaking to us, but we always need to be careful who is teaching it to us. Be on your guard. And this just underlines the importance of being committed to a local church. There are people out there who love the Lord, who, best of my knowledge, are genuine Christians, but their diet is sitting there watching the God Channel, or listening to something Christian teaching on the radio, or going to big conferences where they get a buzz. Now, there can be decent stuff on those sources, but the big problem with those sources is you don't know the life of the person whose teaching you're receiving. You're just seeing them on a screen, you're just seeing them on a platform, just hearing them on the radio. God has designed things so that you learn in a local church where you can check not just the teaching, but the life of the person teaching you. Now, there are good conferences to go to, there are good books to read, and so on. But I urge you, check it out with the elders first. Say, is this a decent book to read? Is this a good conference to go on? Is this teacher I've seen on the God Channel, do you know anything about him? So be careful about which Bible teachers you listen to. And sixthly and finally, just to apply it all, are you listening to God speaking to you in the Bible? Are you listening to God speaking to you in the Bible is the final point that will come up. Now, there are plenty of Christians around who would answer, yeah, I come to church once a week and I hear the Bible then. Well, all I can say, if you just taking the illustration of if you're married, try that on your husband or wife. Yeah, I listen to you once a week. We've got a good relationship. Makes that guy in the car who asked his, he only was gone about 50 minutes, I presume, if he was 50 miles up the motorway before he turned to talk to his wife. He makes most Christians look positively quiet. You know, he looked particularly talkative. Some Christians complain they don't feel they know God well. Could it be because you hardly ever listen to what he has to say to you? So I'd encourage you, I mean, obviously I'm preaching to the converted at this point, come to church morning and evening, if health and family circumstances permit, and urge others to. I know health and family circumstances mean some can't. That's why we record the services. You can listen to the sermons on the website if you like to listen to the whole service, which is nice to get the hymns and so on as well. Those are on CD. Ask one of the guys in the sound booth at the back in the AV room. God is speaking to you in this book. He supplied everything there that you need to grow in your beliefs and behavior in your relationship with God. As someone has said, but it's very true, it's not just a trite saying, either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Are you making good use of this means of grace? Do you have a hunger to learn? Do you have a good spiritual appetite? That's, you know, a good appetite. Go to the doctor and he'll say, are you well? Well, I just don't feel like eating. You get something wrong. Same spiritually. A good appetite is a good sign of health. We have Bible studies on Tuesdays. In the autumn through to the early summer, we have home groups. The ladies meet on a Wednesday morning. The youth tend to meet after a Sunday evening. Occasional good Christian conferences are a good part of a diet. Good Christian books, one of the blessings of being an English speaker, is there is a vast wealth of good Christian literature in English. There's some awful dross as well, but there's plenty of excellent stuff. A healthy appetite is a sign of being fit and healthy. And part of that healthy appetite is spending time each day personally reading the Bible, or if you struggle to read, you can listen to it online. That's one of the great things about the internet. There are great resources available to help you read the Bible each day that you can download onto your phone if you've got a smartphone, or you can get paper copies if you're a Luddite like me. There's all sorts of resources available. So if you're not already in a pattern of regularly reading the Bible or listening to the Bible read, then please do talk to one of the elders. We'd love to chat with you and point you in the direction of good resources, or some other older Christian who you respect. Ask them, what do you use? What do you think might help me? So in closing, your relationship with God, at the heart of that healthy relationship will be a good communication. God is speaking to you in the Bible. Are you listening? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the amazing truth that you, the God who made the universe, speak to us, your humble creatures. And Father, thank you that in your wisdom you've ordained it so that it was written down for us. Father, thank you for those who've translated it into a language we can understand. Father, we pray for grace to have a hunger to read your word, a hunger to hear what my God is saying to me, that we might grow in our knowledge of you, our love for you, our likeness to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And above all, Father, firstly, that every one of us here, I pray, might come to faith in him and find that salvation, find we've been rescued, we've been saved by the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.